is T.S. Wright, and you're on T.S. Wright Speaks. So today, we are going to dive into a topic that is relevant for this day, and that is the day of Pentecost. Because it is Pentecost here on May 24th, on Sunday, we celebrate this. And this is a monumental day in human history, because when Jesus died, all right, he obviously resurrected, and then he ascended into heaven, which we can, you know, read about in the Gospels. And of course, it talks about this in Acts 1 as well. Guess what? He didn't just leave the earth and leave us high and dry. He sent back the Holy Spirit, but he had to leave so the Holy Spirit could come and fill us. This is a monumental event because the Holy Spirit needs to be living in us so that we can live out the life that Christ has called us to. We're not perfect. None of us are. In our flesh, we are, you know, we're sinful. We're full of sin. We are not in alignment with God. But when the Holy Spirit is working in us, he aligns us with God and his word. And so it is so important that we understand the power of what the Holy Spirit does. But let's talk about today, when the Holy Spirit first came on all the believers. And I think as we put this on, okay, as we cloak ourselves in the Spirit, we need to understand that we have the same Spirit living in us that these first apostles did when they first received it at Pentecost. So Pentecost isn't just a one-time event, all right? It's not. It's not just, it didn't just happen almost 2,000, not quite, but almost 2,000 years ago. It happens to all of us when we come to receiving Jesus Christ and we come to him and he gives us, and we surrender to him is really the better way to say it. And then the Holy Spirit comes and seals us for the day of our inheritance. He does. But he doesn't just seal us, he lives in us. All right, and we can talk about how that all works. And obviously on this show, we've mentioned it several times. But everybody experiences their own Pentecost when they receive Jesus. So let's talk about when the first Pentecost happened. All right, so let's go to Acts chapter 2. Because Acts chapter 2 really lays this out and talks about the historical part of this, of when it happened. All right, here we go. Acts 2, starting with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a mighty rushing wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when this sound rang out, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Astounded and amazed, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it then that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Astounded and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocked them and said, "They are drunk on new wine." Verse 14, then Peter stood up with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed the crowd. "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen carefully to my words. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only the third hour of the day. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." And understand this, this comes from Joel chapter 2, all right, in can start at verse 28, but here we go. And this has been quoted many times. "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. even on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and moon and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this message. Jesus of Nazareth was a man certified by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, he was delivered up by God's set plan and foreknowledge, and you, by the hands of the lawless, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, releasing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep him in its grip. David says about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will dwell in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with the joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you with confidence that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb was with us to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke about the resurrection of the Christ. That is, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, to which we are all witnesses. Exalted then to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel know with certainty that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and asked Peter and the other disciples, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise belongs to you and your children, and to all who are far off, to all whom the Lord our God will call to himself. With many other words, he testified and he urged them, be saved from this corrupt generation. Those who embraced his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the believers that day. All right, I'm going to stop there because there is a lot going on in this particular passage. But the focal point is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would eventually come, but he had to go away so the Holy Spirit could come back. See, Jesus understood that the Holy Spirit could not come until Jesus was gone. But Jesus, the plan was Jesus had to live it out. All right. And once he lived everything out, and then he came and fulfilled the purpose of dying on the cross and resurrecting from the dead, and then appearing to many people, and then ascending into heaven, guess what? Then the Holy Spirit would come back and fill us, and then all of the things that fill those apostles, especially at that time, all the things they had saw and heard, the Holy Spirit would remind them of that and then live it out, the life of Christ through them. That's what we're supposed to do. And I will tell you that the power of the Holy Spirit is almost a mystery. In many ways it is, but it's also an understanding that we who have received Christ and have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, we understand it, but we only understand it to a point. And then in another part of it, it's a mystery. It is. It's hard to explain. You have to experience it. That's truly what it is. You have to experience it. So the Holy Spirit is not just something to be explained, but it is something to experience, and we need to remember that. Here's what I'm going to say about this. The Pentecost, for the believer, other than Jesus' shed blood, death, and resurrection, is the most important event in our history. It is also the Holy Spirit, to me, the way easiest way to explain it, the Holy Spirit is the connector of the church. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no church. You realize that? See, the church is built on the power of the Holy Spirit working in the life of the believer and all believers, both individually and collectively. That's what brings us to unity. See, our unifying message, our unifying part is this. It is that God loves us. Jesus died for our sins because we are sinful and separated from God. And because all of this happened, he also resurrected to give us eternal life. And then the last part is he sent the Holy Spirit to work in us, to unify us. Our unity is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our unity and collective as a body of Christ is held together by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the key to all of this. We all get to experience our own Pentecost. We do. When we receive Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit. And by receiving the Holy Spirit, we experience a Pentecost. Now, does that mean we all come out and we're speaking in tongues and prophesying? No, everybody has different gifts. All right. And that doesn't mean people can't speak in tongues, and some do, some don't. But the power of the Holy Spirit works in us by living out our life in obedience to Christ. Now, does that happen overnight? The Holy Spirit comes in, yes, right away. But to learn to live it out with the Holy Spirit, no, it takes time. We still have that battle of spirit and flesh. And guess what? Paul talks about that throughout the epistles. And he describes that. Read Galatians chapter 5. Gives a perfect illustration of the battle between the spirit and the flesh that the Christian will face. And we'll face it in this life. The great news is once we pass on, we don't have to face that anymore. Because our spirit leaves the flesh, and we go and we get to be with the Lord forever. And then we live it out truly in spirit. Because the truth is that we are spiritual beings with a temporary physical experience, not the other way around. And the Holy Spirit connects with our spirit and lives in us. He lives in our hearts and he lives through us. And the Pentecost, it was the start of this. It truly was. It was the start. I love it. God, if we go back to Acts 17, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. I love it. I mean, I cannot think of a better thing. There is nothing like the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. He brings out the obedience of God. He brings out God's will. He perfects us. He prepares us for eternal life. And he helps us to spread the kingdom of God, to help it grow so we can help bring others into the kingdom. Now, ultimately, the Holy Spirit is the one working in the life of the person to bring them to God. We don't save them. God does that. But he uses us through the power of the Holy Spirit. He leads us through the power of the Holy Spirit. He heals us through the power of the Holy Spirit. He restores us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he brings unity to the body of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. So one of the things you can do, and I had a mentor of mine one time tell me, is read the book of Acts and listen and pay attention every time you read it of when it says, and they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit. And you will see how the Holy Spirit is using that person to promote the kingdom of God and use them to be in alignment with God's will. That's what the Holy Spirit does. You know, we can go to the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. For against such things there is no law. See, the Holy Spirit brings those out in us. They're fruits. They're actions that the Holy Spirit leads and puts in us. See, the truth is we can't love anybody without the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. Not truly. We cannot truly love them unless the power of the Holy Spirit is guiding us and leading us to do so. We cannot have the type of peace that we seek without the Holy Spirit putting in there. We cannot live in the joy of the Lord without the Holy Spirit putting it in there. We do not have the level of self-control that we need without the Holy Spirit working that out in us and living it out through us. See, Christ lives in us, and it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he poured out his Spirit on us, starting at the day of Pentecost, which we celebrate today. I want you to really think through this for just a minute, because I think this is such a powerful statement in what I'm going to say. The Holy Spirit isn't a part of the life of a believer. It is the life of the believer, because it's the Holy Spirit that breathes life into us when we were dead in our transgressions and in our sins. You've heard me talk about this before. We aren't, you know, you can't give a corpse medicine and heal them. All right. A corpse has to be resurrected to come back to life. It's plain and simple. The power of the Holy Spirit is what does that. That's right. It resurrects the life of believer. It breathes the breath of life, spiritual life. You know, John 3, what is there again? We're having that conversation of Nicodemus and Jesus. What are they talking about? Yeah, Jesus says you must be born again. Nicodemus says, I can't understand that. How do you enter back into the womb? Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is what gives birth to our spirit. And it works in us to not only bring us to a point of surrendering to Jesus, but then living it out for Jesus. So, as we review this, as we think through this, I want you to ask yourself this question. As we're reviewing, the power of the Holy Spirit works in us to bring out all these different things in our lives that align with the will of God. How is the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life right now? Is it working in your life? Is it changing you? Changing your mind, the way you use your body, the way you use your voice and your tongue, the things you speak. The key is it changing your heart? Are you starting to feel that love and sense that love for other people to know? And the way you know that is that you become more concerned about their salvation than you do about anything else in their life. Yes, we want to comfort people. We don't want them to suffer. Absolutely not. I don't want anybody to suffer. But what I really don't want anybody to ever suffer is that eternal separation from God. I never want anybody to suffer that. And it's the Holy Spirit that puts that love in your heart to share the gospel, to align yourself with God's will, and then carry it out by sharing that message with others. I want to see every person. You know, sometimes when I'm just driving, and I didn't used to do this as much, but I do this more and more now, is that I just think of all the people that are when I'm in traffic, all the people in every one of those cars, how many of them know Jesus? If there's 100 people here, how many of those 100 know Christ? They need to know Christ. And sometimes I'll just start praying for all of them. I will. That they come to know the salvation. They come to know the Lord, so they will be saved. What predominates in your mind? What really dominates your thinking? I mean, is it somebody's salvation, or are you more worried about what they've done to you? Are you more worried about all the problems and cares of this life? You know, Matthew chapter 13 warns us of that, the parable of the sower. You know, as the cares and concerns and anxieties of this life, is that carrying you away? Or are you more concerned? Is your heart fertile? And are you more concerned about getting the message of Jesus out than you are about the cares of this life? Think about that. You know, we want to be kingdom builders. Our primary objective on earth is to receive Jesus and then live it out through him. And we live it out by trying to build the kingdom of God. That's it. That's our primary objectives. I mean, hey, Acts 20:24, Paul speaking, I consider my life of no value except to testify to the good news of God's grace. Building the kingdom. We're kingdom builders. And I think it's so important that we understand that. And as the Holy Spirit works more and more in us and matures us and we become more mature in the Spirit, that will become the focus of our lives. It should be the focus of your life. It should not be the cares and concerns of this world. Yes, we have to live in the world. Yes, we have responsibilities. I get it. We all do. I mean, we still have to eat and we still have to have resources. I get that. And there has to be a time of gathering and a time of working together. But in all of that should be embedded the fact that we are being led, that we feel compelled to build the kingdom of God. If you do not feel compelled to build the kingdom of God, you need to question. You need to start asking questions. Have I really given my life over to the Lord? Am I quenching the fire of the Holy Spirit? Maybe you have surrendered to the Christ, but you quenched the fire of the Holy Spirit because of the concerns and the distractions of this life. What have you done today? Have you really sought the Lord and sought building his kingdom? Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. God cares about your needs, but he cares about building his kingdom more. And we need to remember that. We need to be focused on that. That needs to be the primary objective of our lives. If that is not in the desire of your heart to build the kingdom of God and to live it out and let the Holy Spirit live it out through you, then take a self-examination, get before the Lord, ask him to work in your life, to change your heart, and all your actions will start to follow. Your words will start to follow. You will change those bad habits. They'll naturally change. See, you don't change bad habits and bad things by behavior modification. Behavior modification does not work. It can work for a temporary time, but it doesn't change us. We need a heart change. We need to be revived on the inside. Think of it this way. The believer who is not living it out and is completely concerned about everything in life, that right now they're on life support in a way. All right. Their salvation is there, but they're in a way on life support and they're barely breathing in oxygen and they're needing an oxygen mask. Let's get past the oxygen mask. What they really need is they need a heart change. And what it is when you, it's like this, when you quench the fire of the Holy Spirit, it's like your lungs are barely working. They're just barely, your spiritual lungs are barely hanging in there. We need the breath of life full. We need full oxygen here. We need to be oxygenated. We need to get those things working at full capacity. And to do that, we need to be submitting to the Holy Spirit to work on our hearts. And how do you start that process? Number one, come to the Holy Spirit and ask him to reveal your sin. All right, let him examine you. Let him search your heart and your mind. God does this. Let him rebuke you, because I promise you in the end, you'll be glad you did. You'll go through that process of correction and rebuke, but then you'll confess it and then you'll repent and God will forgive you and remove that stain and that weight of sin off of you. Once he's done that, then he gets to work. And then you just start working on submitting and you make your focus about submitting to God and not about the concerns of this life. Don't worry about him. He'll take care of it. He will. And it may not happen overnight, but you just keep that focus and you persevere in that. Get in his word. Pray constantly. Pray without ceasing, over and over and over. Just be persistent in your prayers and be persistent at being in God's word. You know, it almost has to become somewhat of an obsession to a point that you're like, you're going to just put your foot down. I am not living without the word of God directing me. I am not living out my life without the Holy Spirit being in here. And I'm going to pray in the Spirit all the time. And you don't pray about fleshly needs all the time. You pray God's will. Pray his word. Ask him to work in your life. Ask him. I promise you he will do it. All you have to do is surrender to him. God loves you and he so wants to be connected to you. He is zealous for you. He is jealous for you. He is passionate for you more than anyone else ever could be. No one else in this life can be as passionate for you as God. And he wants that relationship with you today. Everybody pray with me here as I pray out loud. Lord, we need you. We thank you for dying on the cross for our sins and thank you for resurrecting and give us eternal life. Thank you for sending us the gift of the Holy Spirit. If I don't know you, Lord, then I surrender my life to you right now. Lord, if I have received you before, but I've quenched that fire, I now ask you to come back into my life to reestablish your stronghold in my life and to root out all the things that are distracting me from you. Lord, lead my heart to follow your will and to help build your kingdom. Thank you for all that you do in my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here's what we need to do today. We need to do that self-check, and then we need to get back in alignment with God's will by spending time in his word and in prayer. Get in his word, pray, do it constantly. The more you do it, the more it will filter into your mind, and the more, I promise you, that you will start to align yourself with God's will. Your prayers will be in God's will. It won't be about your flesh, and your prayers will always be focused on building the kingdom. We want to be kingdom builders. We are built for it. We are meant for it. The Holy Spirit is in us, designed us to do this, to connect with him and to build his kingdom. Thank you so much for listening to the show today. And we want to quickly announce JesusSaid.tv. If you're listening to the audio, go over to JesusSaid.tv and check us out. You can also check us out at tswrightspeaks.com. Yes, that is tswrightspeaks.com. You can look at our discipleship books. You can also go to the bottom. You can message me if you have a question, and you can find out more about our ministry. Thank you so much for listening to the broadcast today. And we want to now invite you into our discipleship plans and programs. We're going to start announcing this here in the next week about the plans for expanding our ministry. Thank you so much for being a part of this community, and have a blessed day.